football on off the ball.
Trying to run forward and give us that energy. I think probably the penalty, I probably should do better. I probably should get the shot off a little bit earlier, in my opinion. Probably lacking that little bit of sharpness, just for whatever reason. I think I'll get stronger as the season goes on. But
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, Ireland suffered defeat in France in the Women's Six Nations despite a spirited performance in Clermont. Alan Quillen gives his thoughts as Ireland put in a good showing in a French cauldron, and glory for St Mary's and UL Bohemians as the curtain is drawn on the Irish club domestic season. But first, events on Saturday evening in Clermont in France, and Ireland suffered a 26-7 loss. Aoife Wafer, Ireland's talismanic number 8, set the tone early doors by catching the kickoff and running straight at French hooker Mathilde Lazarco. It was the first of 20 carries and 20 tackles that the 23-year-old combined for, topping the Irish chart in both of those metrics, while she was also won 3 turnovers, more than any other player on the pitch. She told Off the Ball's Dara Smith-Nocton in the aftermath that it was a grudge match after losing to the French last year in the World Cup.
Did you see this game as, for yourself personally at all, as a grudge match? We know what happened at the World Cup, obviously, or did you kind of just brush that off and just take it as another game?
I think, like, we have to be all honest and say that, like, we wanted to win this off the back of that World Cup game. I think it was a game coming into being like it is that kind of thing of you want to get one back at them, but it is also that thing of, like, you have to look at yourself, because if you focus too much on France, then you forget what you're good at, you forget, like, what we can do. So the focus all week has just been on us, kind of different set piece moves, different ways that we can attack them, and just kind of sticking to our strengths, because, like I said, like, if you focus too much on them, then you lose sight of what you can do.
And with the team continuing to look to close the gap on the elite sides in the likes of France and England, Alan Quillen says they still have some way to go.
Even though it's closed a fair bit, I think there's still a gap between England, France, New Zealand, these teams who have that extra power and probably a few more years of that full-time conditioning in them.
I think that's just the amount the Irish players aren't really playing. Like, a lot of that team are obviously playing with the provinces and they only play a handful of games a year. And then you have the Celtic Challenge, which is on and off.
Because that was very, very intense, that game. Yeah. And to be fair, it was like the pace and the tempo that they're able to play with now is very impressive. 38 missed tackles is too many tackles missed.
Yeah.
And there's reasons why they missed some of them. The power, the pace. I thought their scramble defence at times was superb. Some of the big French forwards when you know, they were getting over the gain line, I think the support tackling and stuff was brilliant to get them down eventually, but that bit of power told. And they probably have, and I mean this respectfully to everyone, they probably have a couple of Aoife Wafers or Erin Kings.
Yeah.
Whereas Erin King and Aoife Wafer are just, they're at a level that's just phenomenal, really, in the women's game.
And remember, you can listen to that back in full for free in your OTB Rugby podcast feed. Off the Ball Breakfast is live each and every weekday from 7:30 on YouTube and the Go Loud app. Hugh Farrelly, Alison Miller and Johnny Murphy join John Duggan for this week's Saturday panel ahead of Sunday's AIL Finals. And the quartet discussed the fine margins between making it at the top level of professional rugby.
Yeah, like, not everyone can play for Ireland or not everyone can play professional rugby, so the AIL men or women is a really good standard, and we have to remember that it's only a very small portion of, you know, players that come through academies or come through school system or club systems that will get to play professional rugby. Yet they're all very, very good players, and then they get to play in the AIL. So we rugby is not just for that select elite few that can play professional. We have really good players playing in the AIL, men and women, week in, week out, and it's really important that they have that opportunity to do that. And we do know that, like, you know, development of players is not always linear. So we will have anomalies. We will have someone like Jerry Kerr that has come out of the AIL and then absolutely, like I said to him one day, give him a contract, look at him, like, he's able to perform. Or, you know, I looked at Joey Carberry a few years ago when he went from playing and then going to Leinster and then doing what he's doing. So in terms of, in terms of athletic development of players, there will be people that will go a different journey or a different trajectory and might you know, have a few years in the AIL and then go on and get picked up. And not just, like, there's lads that have gone from AIL to, like, French clubs or, you know, D1 French clubs or English clubs that we don't necessarily...
And there's one last night, actually, from a Wesley perspective. He came off the bench, prop from Wesley. He came off the bench for the Newcastle Red Bulls last night. So he left... he left 2 weeks actually before they'd won the league. He didn't play. We played them the second last game, didn't play in that game, and then he came off the bench last night. It was only due to warm up. They had an injury. So there are guys like that. That, and I suppose Jerry Kerr is probably that poster boy. But on Alison's point, I think it's really important that from a professional perspective and looking at the research of guys playing like in schools and clubs, it's really important that, you know, professionalism, professional players, both male, they're kind of like the top 1%. Yeah. But like, you know, you can't cater just for that 1%. You have to cater for everyone else in the 99%. But the AIL guys at 1A, they're probably in the top 98.5%. Yeah. They're just that tiny bit off. And guys, as Alison said, it's so true. Guys, you know, they develop at different stages, at different positions. You know,
people forget about Johnny Sexton. Johnny Sexton, same age. I remember him playing against Dolph, and that year when they
would have played a good three or four times against him.
Cantabomi was in his way for Leinster.
Yeah.
He was playing for Mary's.
Yeah.
And he was playing well, and then when he stepped up, he was ready.
Meanwhile, St Mary's College ended a 14-year wait for glory as they were crowned Energia AIL winners on Sunday after a 46-31 win over defending champions Clontarf at the Aviva Stadium. A 6-try showing plus a valuable 16 points from the boot of the talismanic Mick O'Gara denied Clontarf an historic repeat and instead gave the South Dublin club an AIL title to go alongside the school's Leinster Senior Cup win from earlier in the year. Speaking after the game, St Mary's head coach Mark McHugh spoke to our own Cameron Hill and referenced what has been a big 2026 for the club.
Having the schools winning the Senior Cup this year as well, Mary's, I know you're not completely linked, but just what that does to the community and the club as a whole, this has been St Mary's' season. It must be great generally to have that buzz around the club.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. Like, the sense of community in the club has really changed in the last couple of years. And credit to everyone off the pitcher who you don't see in the squad and the management, like the execs, the officers, the sponsors, really putting a lot of resources and time into kind of the off the field, the minis, the juniors, the women's, the stars, everyone in the club, and building that real community and the sense of community. And then the link with the school is great. Like, Mick O'Gara, Miles, your SSE coach, all coach down in the school. So there's a good link there. So hopefully we can get a few of them up next year as well.
Yourself, I mean, when things wrap up with Connacht, there's a couple of Dublin clubs in for you, trying to coax you back. I know Mary's were in 1B when they came looking for you. Why did you choose Mary's?
Yeah, I think it was weighing up a couple of different options, and ultimately it came down to, you know, playing with my best mates again and going back to enjoying rugby and building something pretty special. I'd already played a couple of years with the group that were there, and it was pretty seamless integrating back in with them.
And McHugh added that they brought in Damien Brown to talk about all things mental preparation ahead of the semi-final.
Did you have anyone in especially this week to chat to the players? Anyone from 2012 or any famous faces?
No, not this week. In the lead up to the semi-final, we did have Damien Brown in. Ex Connacht, Northampton, Breve, Leinster player who's now, you know, Rose Oceans for fun. So we had Damien in to speak to us just around the challenges of, I suppose, adversity, dealing with those mental challenges and being able to be resilient. And I suppose that showed itself in spades in the semi-final last week, in the composure we showed, the calmness that the guys showed to deal with, you know, a pretty chaotic and frantic game. And look, that stood us in really good stead this week as well, that we spoke briefly about it during the week in terms of that mental preparation.
I was going to ask you something about Conor Dean, and he's now in the room with us, so unfortunately he's going to have to be all nice, but just as him as a captain, just talk to me about him as a captain and him as a leader in this team.
Look, he's a pretty special guy. He is, to be fair. He's a special guy, and he is an exceptionally talented rugby player, and he's an exceptionally gifted leader as well. I know he maybe sometimes finds the motivational speeches or the inspirational speech is difficult, but Conor leads through actions. He leads through managing his team around the pitch, and his team, his game management over the last number of weeks has been absolutely second to none. I think as a group we love the guy to bits, and he's just been sensational for us this year, and if he even utters the word retirement, we'll be having very strong days.
UL Bohemians are the Energia Women's All-Ireland League champions for the third year in a row, after an injury time score from young star Katrina Finn guided them to a 16th title in their history. A brace of tries from prop Kira O'Dwyer and one each from Eva Nikdunica, player of the match Alana McInerney, and hero Finn helped the Limerick club flip the script in a rollercoaster encounter where Blackrock led by 9 points with 20 minutes remaining and had a 2-point cushion as the clock struck 80. However, yesterday, UL Bohs came out on top, and captain Chloe Pearce explained how frantic the last few minutes were.
I'm going to let you try and sum up those last few minutes, because my heart still hasn't calmed down. I don't know how you're feeling.
Honestly, it was just like, we did it last year, right? And I really didn't want to be in the same position again. But when they scored, I just said to the girls, right, we'll kick off, Eva Nikdunica will win it, and we'll just go and score. Sometimes it's a very simple game. Like, I think we actually made it very complicated for the other 78 minutes, but I suppose it's easy when you've done it. Like, you know, like, you have that little bit of experience. And then we got a penalty and we were looking at posts, and I, you know, asked Katrina, what are you thinking? It was a bit far out of her range, and she kind of said, let's go again. And we just get our big ball carriers on Blanche, and then Fit and Katrina gets in under the post, a great offload from Ava O'Malley. But I don't know how you sum it up, it's mad.
And on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, Shannon's former star Alan Quinlan reminisced about the glory days of his career in the AIL.
And one of your regular contributors, Alan Quinlan, who gets, you know, whenever his career comes up, you talk about Munster, Ireland, you want to see him playing for Shannon. He was phenomenal. And he'd never shut up. Like, yap, 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 yap.
He never shut up anyway. When he
Quinny, you liked whispering in the hooker's ears. You're going to miss that.
I kind of missed that banter, yeah. Yeah. Actually, there were great days. My time with Shannon when I started was, I was just very lucky that I went into a team that was strong and so powerful, and won the All-Ireland League four times in a row when it was, no disrespect to it now, because it's still very big, but it was different.
Yeah.
All the internationals you used to play, and...
was the team already winning when you made it? Or did you come in just as it started to win?
Just as it started to win. The first year I was only played a very bit part, 95-96 season. It was incredible though to come into that group of players, and obviously it happens in sport. Title defenses can be hard, and
yeah.
Kind of broke up a little bit then after that. In Shannon, and professionalism kicked in, and probably a year later, none of us are playing for a club again, which was a big thing, and probably hasn't helped Limerick rugby in particular. That whole ability to see the internationals, yeah, to see the Munster players in around the club on a regular basis. But I was very lucky in the sense that I joined a team that the young Munsters, Gary Owen, you know, Crescent, Bowes, they were down a division or two. But the competitiveness in Limerick was just phenomenal. You know, to play those local derbies and then go on the road, and you know, Mary's won the league yesterday. It was a phenomenal win for them against Clontarf, and it was a great crowd, and the vibrancy of the All-Ireland League is definitely very, very high. And it did bring back memories of playing against the likes of Mary's, you know, Trevor Brennan, Victor Costello, Dennis Hickey.
Good team.
All that team.
Ryan Baird and Charlie Tector have been ruled out of Leinster's Champions Cup semi-final with Toulon on Saturday, a game you can hear live on Off the Ball this coming weekend. While doubts remain over a number of players, including Tadhg Furlong and Andrew Porter. In a boost for the province, James Lowe is back in training and could yet feature. Lowe, along with Dermot Mangan and Jordan Larmer, are back on the grass and need further checks to see if they could play against the French outfit. Furlong was injured in Saturday's URC loss against Benetton, and his absence would compound their prop woes. Porter has been out since the Champions Cup clash with Edinburgh at the start of the month, with Leinster giving him every opportunity to prove his fitness this weekend. Paddy McCarthy, Jack Boyle, Orgie Snayman and Alex Usinov are not in contention. Leo Cullen's side have been plagued by injuries in recent months as they face the crunch last four clash. That is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.